You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe.
Welcome to Delirious Nomads, the Blacklight Media podcast where we talk to all sorts of metal bands and affiliated type people. Today, I am really excited to have Brad from one of our more recent signings, Demiser, who are like this black and thrash band I've been following forever. How are you today, Brad?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm really glad we get to talk. I've talked to the drummer quite a bit, and I've never really connected, so that's cool. But yeah, I have a whole bunch of stuff I want to get into with you today. But I guess first and foremost, what I'd like to understand is, you know, black and thrash metal is not something you really get a lot of in America. Right.
That's right. Yeah.
How did you get into it? What's your sort of backstory within the genre?
I guess growing up, you know, the first, you know, heavy metal genre I fell into was thrash, you know, Megadeth, Metallica, Slayer. And then, you know, that kind of evolved into death metal. And then I guess I felt more in tune to traditional and just, you know, old school, I guess, black thrash stuff, shit like Venom, stuff like that. And, you know, I just kind of originally, creating this project with the guys, it just seemed to really match something that we all wanted to do. Just something fun and fast and evil.
That's such a good summary of what this band is about, is fun, fast, and evil. Because I remember getting the record from, I think it was Shannon Boyd who did your PR, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I saw there was a song called like Raw Fucking Vomit. And I was like, fuck yeah. This is what I need.
That song itself was named after Infester before he went by Infester. He went by Raw Fucking Vomit. That's our drummer. We actually were at a Demolik show in Atlanta, and some wasteoid idiot threw up all over him, and he goes, "I got raw fucking vomit all over me," and that ended up being his name in that song for a second. Yeah. It changed it to Infester.
That's awesome. I know, I love stuff like that. That's so like silly and glorious. And I feel like black metal names, in particular, like sort of war metal names, are like kind of the best nicknames in metal.
I agree. We all go by pseudonames. So like,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, we have to, right? It's part of the whole thing.
Well, just like the overtly masculine, over the top, whatever. But like, that's what I find almost super fun about what you do is like the, and I remember joking about this early on, was like the Manowar picture you have going.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's like the perfect example of like, oh, like this is what happens with this band.
Tough, evil fuckers.
How much does, you know, so obviously I genuinely am unsure if I know any other black and thrash like from the South. How much do you feel that you're sort of geographic origins impact the band?
I don't think that geographically it impacts it too much.
Okay.
We take what we love about a lot of European bands and build on it. We do our own thing with it, of course, but geographically, it wouldn't matter where we were.
Okay, that's completely fair. I was just kind of curious what the origins were there, because I do know there's a lot of like Nunslaughter love with you guys.
Oh, well, I'm from Ohio too. I think that maybe runs a little deeper with me.
That's fair. that whole scene is like very exciting and fun to me and a little bit silly.
It's fun as fuck.
So, okay. So then my next question was kind of tied into the fun as fuck component. What's the story behind the chainmail?
Man, I couldn't even tell you. I don't know if there is a story behind it. Our guitar player had a whole chainmail set at his old place, and Brian would just get drunk and put it on. That's kind of where that came from. We're like, no, that's fucking sick. You should just do that all the time.
And now he's just chainmail guy. I love it. It's so like big man of war energy. But like, is that even correct? Or am I like completely off base with sort of that comparison?
I understand the comparison.
Okay. But does that have an impact on you, or like, where is that coming from?
I don't think so. I don't think it stems from Man of War by any means.
No. Yeah.
It's just, we like the image. So, I mean, it's one of those things that we're just, you know, we fucking roll with it.
Actually, okay, so hear me out. Here's like my metal conspiracy theory for you. My opinion is Manowar is a lot more influential than anyone realizes. They just spent 25 years being goofy as fuck, so nobody takes them seriously.
Yeah, over the top, like you were saying.
But like, there are Porthon quotes where he's like, Bathory was influenced by Manowar. And like, you can hear it in the Viking trilogy, like pretty obviously how like, anyway, I've been arguing with people about, I'm like a Manowar revisionist.
Sure. And I mean, I think a lot of our influence too, I mean, it stems from the same place.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Our influence stems from the influencers, you know? So, I mean, Bathory influenced by Manowar, you know, we're influenced by Venom, Bathory, Sabbath, you know, shit like that.
For sure. And like, so let's dive into the Venom thing, because that's something I'm kind of a nerd about. First and foremost, what's your favorite Venom lyric? Because I feel like everyone has one.
Good question. Maybe off of Poison, the song, what is it? You're sitting close beside me, got your hand up by my zip. Don't bother to take it down, honey. It's about to rip. That's probably one of my favorites, to be honest. That shit cracks me up every time. I love it.
That's the most ignorant shit ever. Oh my God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm like very about that. I'm actually really stoked because I'm going to see Venom with Kronos next month in Norway.
Okay.
And I'm just like, infernal fucking hails.
Yeah.
Because like Venom, what are they called? Venom AD or whatever?
Venom Inc.
Venom Inc. Like, that's cool. And like, they do good work. But like, I just want to see Kronos.
I've seen both. I've seen, you know, Venom with Kronos. I've seen Venom Inc. And I must say, I'm enjoy Venom Inc's show.
Yeah.
They play the fucking classics.
That's what I've heard, is that Venom Inc is like much more dedicated to being like,
it's the Venom you love.
Yeah. Like, you want to bang your head and do dumb shit and smash some kid's face in, this is for you.
Yes.
Which, like, it's fun because I've just been diving deep into Venom lately, actually. And just sort of like, I feel like their late 80s output is like incredibly underrated.
It's all Venom, but I prefer, so I would say Welcome to Hell is my favorite Venom album. I mean,
sure.
It's got all my favorite fucking songs on it. I mean, it's hard to go wrong.
No, 100%. But I've just sort of, I was doing some marketing for a Primeval reissue earlier this year. And so I was sort of like, you know, I've never listened to this. Let me dig in. And like, that record's fucking awesome. Like, I don't know. I feel like they don't get enough credit for, it was more than just the first three records.
Yeah, those are my favorite. Don't get me wrong. I like that. I like that fucking just raw, I don't give a fuck evil attitude, you know, that they portray in those years. That's what I'm drawn to.
100%. But did you ever think about like how wild it must have been to hear Welcome to Hell in like 1981 when nothing else was nearly that heavy?
I know. Those, I mean, live videos from that time too. There's a lot of them from, you know, probably like 83, 84. And I mean, those shows look fucking insane.
Yeah.
I was just born. I was born in 84.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, it's funny going back and watching all those live shows and just being like, this was fucking happening. I was just fucking born. It's wild as hell.
100%. And it's just like wild to think about like how crazy metal was in those days. Like, you talk to like the older guys who were there, they're just like, oh yeah, there was just a riot and someone died and then Slayer played a show. No big deal.
Goals.
Do you know what I mean?
Goals.
Yeah. Like, when do you think metal got less thrilling like that, where like the shows were like no longer like legitimately dangerous?
When people got less thrilling.
Jeez.
There's still that dangerous fucking crowd out there. You know, they're just few and far between.
Sure.
You know, everybody's so much more fucking tame these days. You know, whether it's what we eat or the fucking water that we drink, you know, who fucking knows, right?
That's fair. And it's just, I don't know, it's just weird. It's like, it's interesting, but you know, I think that like the period Venom comes up in is so interesting because you have like this quantum leap. Like, it's crazy to think that like you go from like Motorhead to Napalm Death in like 8 years.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about that? Like,
I mean, what a shift.
Right? Like you go from like, oh, this is like gruff, but like it's still blues to like, yeah, just such an interesting period.
But then you have like, I know it is. It is. You have like, you know, that, you know, 80s more extreme black metal too that happened. And then you have like the whole early, you know, stages of death metal and shit. You have like Nihilist and Entombed and all that kind of stuff. And that was super bluesy and very rock and roll as well. I mean,
yeah, which is like, it's interesting to like, because I go to a lot of the Norwegian black metal festivals, right? And it's interesting because when you watch a lot of the older bands, they rock.
Oh yeah.
And that's something I admire about Demiser. But like, if you go to like a Mayhem show or Retain, like that's a rock band.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you get a whole package. It's not just dudes standing on stage playing their fucking instruments.
Yeah, it's real ass black metal.
It's not dudes trying to be over technical, fucking jacking their guitar off to fucking Into the Earth. There's more to it. There's more fucking feeling. There's more fucking soul. And that's what I like about that shit. That's what I like about that raw music.
Yeah, it's something that very clearly comes through and really speaks to sort of the what you've been building with Demiser is a sense of like raw fucking evil that you can still.
We definitely try to keep it true, and you know, especially even with the whole fucking get up and our stage gear and everything, that you know, the whole image, you know, we're trying to keep that spirit, if you know what I mean. So, you know, it's like there's like an Eddie or a Rattlehead or, you know, whatever the fuck, like, you know, we have our Demiser, who is featured on almost every fucking thing that we've released at this point. There's, you know, sigils, there's you name it, like the image is apparent. You have that with bands like Judas Priest and Motorhead, and you have bands like Saxon
and Venom.
Yeah, all that shit. Like, and we're just trying to keep that shit going because it faded away. Like, it just kind of went away. It's mind-blowing.
Or the people, I feel like when it's done, it's oftentimes, like, very corny.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhat tongue-in-cheek, right? Like, you can't adopt a persona or an image that's completely over the top and expect people to take you completely fucking seriously.
Sure.
That's what makes it fucking cool.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun of heavy metal, right? Is, like, this sense of, like, Trevor from Black Dahlia once described it to me as, I get to go on stage in front of 1,000 people and scream about being a monster and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, basically, like, that's the sickest part, is like to go on stage and scream about being a monster.
Yeah.
That's certainly my goal.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, that's the fun thing about heavy metal.
I just want to circle back on the 80s black metal thing. Who, outside of Venom, what are your favorite 80s black metal acts? What are you into? And ideally, what's like a weird thing you think people don't listen to enough of?
Interesting. That's an interesting question. I don't know. I feel like anything that I say that people should listen to more of, people probably are like, well, tons of people listen to them. Because I mean, all my favorite bands, you know what I mean? Like, half of them are not no-name shit. I listen to a lot of fucking weird 70s rock and roll and stuff like that. Like, I listen to like a lot of like 1969 to like 73 type shit, like Dust. And
oh, I love Dust.
That's some of my favorite music. That's probably what I listen to.
Okay.
I get a lot of influence from stuff like that, especially, you know, lyrically.
How so?
There's definitely, in the album Through the Gate Eternal, there's nods to Dust within the lyrics. I'm sure somebody could point it out if they really read through the lyrics and listened to it and knew Dust very well. They'd hear exactly what I was saying. I mean, we put a lot of nods in there. Right? There's nods to, you know, Destroyer 666. There's nods to Dust, Motorhead, you name it. Like, there's little Easter eggs throughout that album. And if people really want to listen to it and hear, they know discography and they listen through these albums and they know these albums because it hit them as hard as it might have hit us or hit me, they'll they will hear little lyrical nods here.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lyrical nod to the Dust song, Dustly Spoken, and might be Offering. But yeah, there's a lot of influence that comes from there.
I love the cover of Heart Attack from Dust.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I see that, I'm like, fuck, yes.
Yeah.
But I've actually, it's interesting that you talk about that 69 to 73 period, because I've also kind of dug deep into that, because there's, again, a lot of interesting stuff there.
Presetta did a lot of cool art for a lot of bands back then too. I mean, they used his art. I mean, Nazareth.
Sure.
I mean, Molly Hatchet, of course.
100%. No. The band I was digging into recently from that period was Buffalo. Do you know them?
Yeah, I've listened to Buffalo.
Yeah, we just did a reissue of them with Ripple Music, and it's like wild to me to discover some of these bands and to be like, or like when you listen to like the 60s Japanese garage rock scene, which I was really obsessed with for a minute, where it's like this band, The Beavers, were formed in Japan in like 1967. There's like 50 Yardbirds LPs in the country, and they come out with like 3 Yardbirds covers. And it's like, how do you do that? But like, yeah.
So like all about Zamrock shit too.
Yeah, like Suck.
Yeah, shit. There's what's that Zamrock band? They're real big.
Witch?
Yeah, Witch. I mean, shit, they're doing a, Witch is doing a show out west right now.
Are they really? That's awesome.
Out in California. Yeah, Witch I Could Go.
Okay, this podcast's over. But like, what's also cool about that period is like, again, that's another period sort of like 79 to 86 where it's like,
well, they didn't have access to like a lot of music either, but yet they're putting out these high, like, you know, obviously they were influenced, but they're like, you know, they didn't have access to everything that like maybe you or I or like anybody and like a, I don't know, somebody that had that at their fingertips. You know what I mean?
Marky Ramone.
Mark Bell.
Exactly.
Yeah. What a killer fucking drummer. Simpled it down a lot for the Ramones.
And just like made it work.
Like half his playing skill. But yeah, it was still amazing.
No, I think that period is interesting. There's also bands like, the other thing I love from that period is like the weird art you have. Like my two favorites are Toad and also Juicy Lucy, if you know those bands.
I've heard of Toad. I don't know snakes.
The Toad one is cool because the gatefold is just like this giant, impossibly fat toad. And Juicy Lucy, like, they're okay, but I'll send you the album art. It's like ridiculously weird and creepy. It's like this naked lady covered in fruits, but like in sort of, I don't know, I've never seen an album cover that looks so sticky. I'll send it to you. It's cool. But yeah, all this to say, that's really cool you're really into Dust, because I think that band's awesome.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, both albums.
Would you ever like go and do like a fuzz rock band like that, or proto metal, or whatever you want to call it?
Not vocally, I don't think.
Fair.
But I would. I just don't think I could pull it off vocally.
Yeah. But it's like interesting because there's like some vocalists in that era who were like, there's a lot of just weird shit that was going on then.
No, I agree. I mean, shit, there was that real operatic, like, prog like psych band from Germany, Necronomicon.
Yeah, dude, that Tony Iommi produced.
Shit's fucking insane, and it's so fucking weird.
Yeah,
but I mean, I love it, and but it flows, and it all goes so well.
But it's like crazy because like you fuck with Arthur Brown, I'm assuming.
Mm.
God of Hellfire.
Okay.
But anyway, like he was like one of those guys, and he was like, it's like interesting because at that time, like Dolly would come to the show and like hang out.
That's bizarre.
But like, yeah, or there's that band, you know that band Cro-Magnon?
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, this is just like hippies who just, whoops. Anyway, I that's cool because I'm just really adore that world. And it's cool to see it kind of finally getting its due with the Easy Rider, Brown Acid series, and a lot of reunions happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that brought out a lot of that. That showed me a lot of shit I'd never heard, for sure.
They do a really excellent job of curating that.
And how many of those did they do even? Was it like, did they do like 8 or 9, or was it even more than that?
I think it was more. Like, I can tell you. Let me look right now. They did. Right now it appears they're on 13, I think.
Damn, I've been out of it.
But you know, but like that, that stuff is out there if you're willing to like dig in.
Sure. Yeah, they make it very accessible for sure. That's great.
They just put out the 14th. I just checked.
Damn.
But it's just like, must have been wild to be part of that.
Mm. Yeah, that whole set. That's a chunk of change.
You know, it's cool to discover these things and this forgotten hidden history.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, as we head towards the end, because it's also very late here in Germany.
Is that where you are right now?
That's where I am right now. Gearing up for the war. What's coming next for Demiser? I know you've got a bunch of local shows. You're playing that festival in Pennsylvania. Music is being written.
I think we have one local show that we're doing, and we're not doing, I don't think, probably any other local shows until the end of the year or next year. We have one up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, that's coming up here in the next couple of months. And we have April 16th, we are playing up in Pennsylvania. It's that Dungeon Death Fest.
Which looks sick.
Yeah, that the lineup's great. It just sold out. So if you're listening and you don't have a ticket, fuck you. It sold out.
Fair.
But yeah, no, that's gonna be a ton of fucking fun. We're gonna have a blast up there. We always have a blast in Pennsylvania.
Is there any new material you can talk about?
You know, we're obviously working on our second album. We are feeling real good about it so far. I can say that. It's definitely a continuation of Through the Gate Eternal, you know, moving on that raw, fast, filthy, evil, satanic speed metal. You know, as of right now, I mean, I don't think we're not going to put a clean instrumental song on this album. It's going to be kind of no holds barred kind of deal. And as of right now, every song that we have completed, which is, you know, I think, I mean, we're pushing close. I mean, we're probably 70%, I would think, at this point. I'm stoked on every fucking song so far. I'll say all that. But yeah, it's going to be a no holds barred record.
How do you feel it's like an evolution on the debut, or is it just more of the debut?
It is a continuation. I think it's going to be maybe a little bit more intense.
Sick. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any final things you want to kind of touch on before we kind of wrap out in a storm of venom worship?
I'll say if you can make it out to a show this year, we're not going to play many of them. We do have a possible tour in the works for towards the end of the year, November-ish. Keep your ears open for that. If you can catch us, catch us. You know, if not, you know, we're going to be around for a while. We have no plans on going anywhere. You know, we're having too much fun what we're doing. So we'll do it till one of us cakes at least.
That's pretty fair. With the gulp of wine at the end. There you go. Real big gall energy. Anyway, thank you so much, Brad. This has been awesome. We'll be back in a week with another podcast. So catch you all listeners then.
All right. So that was awesome. Thank you everyone out there for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more. And above all, keep it heavy.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.